Welcome back to another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. It is I, Pizza Mind, here, and I am joined today by Patrick Chabutel, the head of biz dev over at Gelato Finance. Patrick, welcome. How are you doing today?
Hey, everybody. Great to be on here. I'm doing quite well. What about you?
I'm doing okay. I've got a little bit of a cold left over from ETH Denver, but if that's the worst, no complaints. But seeing the name Gelato really makes me happy, makes me feel good. I suppose in the way people feel when they see my name, Pizza, pop up on their screen, as I've been told from time to time. How did you come up with the name Gelato?
Yeah, basically, so Gelato did start with like the idea of automation, like right at the center. However, back then in 2019, there wasn't really a lot of projects out there that did go into that sort of food direction, where with the likes of like PancakeSwap not being created yet, SushiSwap not being created yet. And so that's why the founders, Louis and Hilmer, basically thought about like cool ways of actually branding something in crypto that everybody likes. Because back then it was all about like DeFi and like very complicated names. So nobody could really relate to that. So they did think about something that everybody likes, right? And that they were living right around the corner from like an ice cream store in Berlin. And when they did went to get some ice cream there, they basically thought about Gelato and they just went with it.
It's a great name, and it certainly is something that everyone likes. And what sparked the idea of creating a decentralized backend for Web3? You know, here at Crypto 101, we're trying to figure out just what is Web3, and we're trying to paint a grand vision. So what does the backend really look like?
Yeah, so basically, there's like, especially for new projects getting started out, and especially for new joiners in the crypto space, I think what is really important to know is that a lot of crypto projects actually still rely on centralized infrastructure. We're talking about AWS, Google, and so on. And I think as part of the journey to decentralization for a lot of projects, they are actually searching for backend services. We're talking about automation, transaction relaying, indexing, and so on. And to be able to actually do this in a decentralized fashion, there's a lot of stuff need to be built. Like you need to create a system that scales, a system that handles like tens of thousands and preferably like millions of users. So what we set as a mission is to basically create those backend services out of the box, so other crypto projects don't have to, and they can just come to Gelato to get their infrastructure.
That's great. So how, let's talk about some of those services. Are they smart contracts? Is it decentralized cloud compute or storage? All the above? What does that look like?
Yeah, so basically Gelato started out with automation, and there we're also right now the biggest automation protocol out there, which for all sorts of things, you can think about anything that you don't want to do manually as like a developer in Web3, you should automate. And how does this look like? As like with examples, we got yield farming protocols who don't want to manually harvest their yields. They want to basically auto compound that, let's say on a daily basis. And it gets as easy as like just going to Gelato, setting up a task, which is like done in a minute, and you're good to go basically. And in terms of like the other services, it's like very much focused on you as a developer, not needing to develop it all by yourself, especially in that sort of bear market. You don't want to start from scratch. You want to use something out of the box, preferably already decentralized. And we at Gelato are really much focusing on creating that sort of service, so you as a developer can just go there, get automation, get set up in terms of relaying and other services as well.
That's awesome. I love how easy, and it's getting easier and easier to build in this space. And soon you won't even need to be a developer at all. You can just use ChatGPT and all the Legos that people have brought before you.
That should be the goal.
Yeah, and the world of creativity is just going to get so much easier. I love it. So what are some of the use cases that people can spin up on Gelato right now?
Yeah, so I mentioned already the yield farming example. For example, just creating simple auto compounding for vaults. But there are also like multiple other use cases out there, right? You can think about anything that goes into like limit order systems or trading in general. Now on Uni V3, you've got range orders and you constantly need to change them based on the ranges. All of that can be automated, as well as like just changing the infrastructure and the user experience that users can actually experience. Is like it's a change that you can do with Shelado when you think about your actual user interaction. What I mean by that is you can create something like gasless transactions or onboarding without the user even owning any wallet before that. So we're really talking about onboarding Web2 users to Web3 by just as easy as signing in with your Instagram account. And like as a next step, we also, and I think we will touch on that later, we'll also want to onboard those Web2 users and educate them in Web3 without them needing to write down actual seed phrases.
That's amazing. And it seems like that's been the way forward, and there's been a few companies that are working on it. And, there's one company called Medikeep that's doing something similar. And then Coinbase just came out with their new offering as wallet as a service. And that's something that you guys have something to do with, isn't it?
We are not like directly involved in what Coinbase is offering with the wallet as a service. However, we are working quite closely together with the guys at Coinbase to just align and like chat about the next wave of user onboarding, especially on Base, and how this can be established. And I think just thinking about or looking back onto how you first experienced blockchain, it's like most of the time it has been like very clunky. You go to like a page, you don't have a wallet, you don't know how to get a wallet really. You end up installing MetaMask, need to write down your seed phrases. You don't really know what happens if you lose those few words. And you're really unsure at the start. And what we really want to establish with like this new offensive in terms of UX is really enabling anybody to interact with dApps as it would be like a normal Web2 website. So it should be very easy, very natural to like interact with it. And at some point when you feel comfortable enough, you should then be onboarded onto like your own wallet, your self-custody solution. But in the meantime, you can have those sort of safety rails while you're playing around.
I love it. And that solves such a huge problem. I remember when EOS first came out, and that was the biggest money raise ever. Over $4 billion went into EOS, and this was going to be the fastest, best blockchain that ever existed. And when it finally launched, I was so excited. I went to try and figure out how to get a wallet, and I couldn't. After 40 minutes of trying to research, as someone who's highly technical, lots of experience, I couldn't figure it out. And I said, this is the worst thing ever, and it's going to fail. And sure enough, EOS has been the biggest disappointment probably in the history of blockchain, and still continues to be an awful way to try and get a wallet. They haven't figured it out after another 4 years. But by enabling a Web2 experience, email, password, and not having to worry about anything else, people don't even have to know they're using Web3 now. So that's definitely the way to go. And it's amazing to see that companies are finally figuring this out. Tell us a little bit about the hackathon that you're hosting. What's the purpose of that, and what are some of the bounties that are out?
Yeah, so right now we have a hackathon together, like in the whole of March, which is focused on account abstraction, which is like a hot topic in crypto right now. And we're hosting that together with Safe and some other really good partners of ours like CalSwap, like Web3Off, like Coinbase, and so on, to basically have some bounties on different solutions that we currently created. The onboarding is like one of them. So basically any developer can check out the documentation, the blog post around that. I think the first prize is 5 or 7K USD for up for grabs. And basically what we want to do with that is just like enabling developers to build on top of Gelato, Safe, Coinbase, and like other protocols like Web3 off. And what this means is, I think, taking it a step back, we like in the Ethereum space, account abstraction was always like a pretty big topic, because it will basically enable a lot of new interactions, since transactions don't solely need to be initiated by users, but rather can way easier be handled via smart contract wallets. And with those smart contract wallets, basically, you can create this sort of Web2 user experience that I mentioned before, which, of course, makes the onboarding way easier. And what this means is, or what we wanted to also establish with this hackathon, is just letting hackers create really good products or solutions, or at least a first version for them, that can change the sort of onboarding that is normally done within dApps. Because right now, you still, if you want to use like a DeFi project, you will need to have like your EOA, you need to have your MetaMask to like sign in, to have some crypto on there, you need to on-ramp it or find some centralized exchange to get some crypto onto your wallet. And with this hackathon, we basically want to incentivize protocols to change that, and or hackers to change that, to make this user onboarding like smoother. We also have Stripe in there, therefore like the on-ramp. So it also makes it easier to interact with the blockchain, and shouldn't be so scary with like compared to like EOAs and the normal onboarding that we have right now, so that users feel comfortable, first of all, when interacting with your dApp, and second of all, when using the actual dApp, they should be like onboarded as it would be like just another Facebook or another Instagram, where they basically just sign up, can do some stuff, have fun, but don't really need to care about their key management and how that works.
What can we do in this space to improve security for all the banks that are failing right now at the time of this recording here in the middle of March? Everyone's championing crypto and DeFi as the next big thing. And in the middle of all this, Euler Finance gets hacked for $200 million. They've got like 6 audits done. They're some of the smartest people in the space. They simply introduced one new function that enabled someone to do a flash loan attack and drain 9 figures from them. And it's so disheartening to see this happen, especially after how many billions were stolen last year. Wormhole was like $600 million, all because of literally one character that had become, you know, vulnerable in a new version of the code. How are people even supposed to keep up with this stuff? I mean, at what point in the space are we just going to start encrypting smart contracts so they can't be copied and exploited? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think security is just such an underrated topic in general. So I'm super glad you asked that, because we're talking about UX, we're talking about a bunch of different stuff within crypto, but security doesn't really get the spotlight too often, just when those sort of big hacks happen. However, I think there's also like a lot of work still needs to be done there to make it like just safer to build a protocol within the space. And I just think like looking onto banks right now and what happens in Web2 and TradFi just goes to show that there's like there are big problems when there's intransparency and there's not like you don't really see what's going on behind closed curtains. And I, as a user of a bank, can't really see when they will face a liquidity crunch, how they will react, and so on. So I'm a big fan of the transparency that blockchains provide. However, when looking onto those sort of smart contracts exploits, I just think it's very important on how projects actually handle their upgrades. I think one prime example for that is like I think it was called reverse hack that Oasis allegedly did to get some funds back from the wormhole hack. And there they used it in the reverse way, right? They use the upgradable smart contract to get those funds back. And I think as long as this is the case, that you still have this sort of Wild West, it's not safe. So what I would really like to see, or at least that's my stance, is to actually have some regulation when it comes to that, some clear regulation that people can actually follow, and also companies can follow at the end of the day. But that way you can also have certain guarantees as a user. What I mean by that is, if I have like 10K or like 5K in Euler, I should probably have some sort of guarantee that my money cannot be gone at some point, because we can't go into mainstream DeFi can't be mainstream if you have like no guarantee that your funds are not getting lost or they're just gone one day to another. So I think there needs to be some sort of safety net for retail users in there. And I think regulation could provide it, but I still think it's like way out there till like actual regulators see that. But as soon as this is the case, I think DeFi can actually get mainstream adoption, because thinking about if you have at least some sort of safety net for retail users, you can get them onto like testing out DeFi projects and making sure they have those safety lines together, maybe with like a smart contract wallet to provide an extra safety net, and making sure from a smart contract side that those smart contracts can't be exploited. I think we still need to up our game in terms of like audits and how we upgrade those smart contracts and what sort of functions we introduce, right? Because there were multiple other hacks already where there's just one change, right? But nobody expected the significance of that change to actually lead to ruin. So I think there's still standards that need to be passed, like from a protocol perspective, to prevent that from happening, as well as from a user perspective, there needs to be some sort of guidelines or safety net so you can't lose like all your funds.
Yeah, definitely. Just the fact that $100 million could leave a pool all at once, like there could be a safety mechanism built in saying, you know, no more than 1 million can leave per minute. So at least there's a chance to see something's going on and then solve the problem in the mempool or something. It was really disheartening to see this stuff happen. Is it just a matter of Solidity being a very new language that's super vulnerable, or does it not matter what language that these smart contracts are written in?
I think it's probably like both, because like especially Solidity is still like a young language, and like the whole Ethereum ecosystem is not that old. So even like senior Solidity smart contract developers, they're basically 8 years into the space or 9 years, which is compared to like Web2, not a lot. So I think there will be significant improvements. Like as we go through multiple bear cycles, people will see what sort of problems that there will arise and what sort of exploits can actually happen just to test that, right? In Web2, it wasn't really a problem because you had like some bug in the code that went public, but there was no real liquidity attached to that. Now,
yeah, you might deface a website or steal someone's social account, like, be no big deal.
Yeah, but now we're playing around with a lot of money, and I think we had the same problems when actually creating the internet, where there were a lot of bugs, and as you said, the site went down, but no real problem. But as we're now playing around with a lot of liquidity and millions of dollars, basically, I think it's just important to be even more careful on what happens and what sort of changes will be introduced.
Would it be better if the future of DeFi was built on something like Cardano, which is written in a really old language like Haskell, or even something like Agoric, which has a specialized hardened JavaScript?
I think there's definitely like there are benefits to do that. However, I also see the significance of like the developer community itself on Ethereum and what like in this whole layer two ecosystem now starts to happen, where you have like those branches with like something like OP Stack to basically have all those L2s, like for example Base, that can just be spun out, and a lot of other projects will do that as well, which will lead to like more and more stuff getting built on top of Ethereum. And I think this network effect that seems to happen right now on the network like Ethereum is like very hard to replicate, and it's quite hard to actually get so many people excited about something like that it actually happens. So I think it would definitely have benefits on, for example, using something like Haskell, and I think would definitely be a consideration at IOHK to decide to go down that route. However, I think this network effect that Ethereum created is very hard to replicate. So I think Solidity, or like for new developers starting out or new people starting to join the space, Solidity is still the way to go.
It seems to be the case. What are some other trends that you're seeing in the development community outside of Ethereum, which is still far and away the number one community? Are there any others that you're seeing starting to gain rapid traction that we should pay attention to?
Yeah, I think there's, except for Ethereum, there's Sui, where I think there's some interesting developments happening there because they have a very different approach to other competitors, for example, like Aptos or now Solana, because they will probably already onboard as they launch a lot of new projects and that haven't been like Web3 native before that, which I think like from a business development perspective is like a good way, because I, as a user, if I test a network and there's not a lot to do, I don't really spend time on that. I maybe do like a few transfers, but it's not really interesting for me to stay on there if there's nothing to do. And I think from my perspective, Sui could be a good candidate for a sort of different ecosystem like Solana was early on. Of course, they also have and had their problems, but I think they have a good chance of getting a lot of users onboarded onto Web3.
What makes Sui so different and attractive to users?
I think just how they started to create their community. I think they haven't tried to be too aggressive on how they actually create their community, because if you think about, or at least that's my experience, when talking to a lot of the developers that are now developing on Aptos, they're actually started out on Solana, but then decided to switch to Aptos because it was like new, and from some of them, they said it was also better. And I think Sui didn't really do that, and they are also like building their developer community quite active. I don't know if you've seen, but also in Denver, they had like a separate hacker house where they had some hackers building on top of Sui. And I think this just adds up at some point as you're building up the chain and building up the projects that build on top of that. So that as soon as they launch their mainnet, they will actually have some cool projects that you as a user can actually play around with.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to keep our eyes out for Sui. And this is another project that is built on a new language called Move, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. Yeah, they're also built on Move.
Well, it's going to be quite an adventure for the Sui team. Hopefully they can build something with lots of quality as well as quantity. And Patrick, before we let you go, give us some words of wisdom for anyone just entering the space right now as they're losing their trust in banks and they want crypto to be the answer. Give us some words of wisdom and some words of warning.
Yeah, so I think words of wisdom are definitely like diversify yourself. So be really not too reliant on like any bank or any project if you're already in Web3 or any chain, but rather stay safe and use solutions that really work. What I mean by that is look onto the space, onto protocols, projects, solutions that have already been out there since the start, basically for 3-4 years now, and haven't had like any exploit. This doesn't give you like 100% safety, but at least you're decreasing any sort of risk that you have within the ecosystem. Because as you can see, like there are so many smart people at Euler, and they build such an amazing product, and still it can be exploited by just such a small problem, which led to that. And I think in terms of the sort of risk that you should be willing to take, I think everybody for themselves should decide on what they want to do with what they feel comfortable. Of course, if you're like comfortable aping into Doge and you feel safe doing that, it's like everybody can decide of what feels right to them. However, I think as the space develops, especially in a bear market, you can really see what are the sort of solutions, projects, protocols that you can trust that also continue to build in the bear market and are also very transparent in what they're building. I always recommend check out their DAOs, try to participate, do votes on Snapshot, be active in a community, because that's how you as like a user can actually drive certain decisions within a project and maybe help them even. And in case you're actually looking for a job in Web3, that's also the best way to get a job in Web3, to be active on those communities. And when participating in the governance of a project, you will also learn a lot. So those are my sort of wisdoms.
And that's great advice. And that's how I got started in crypto, is just in the community and working my way up. Eventually got a real job and been off to the races ever since. Patrick, thank you so much for spending the last half hour with us. Where can the good citizens of CryptNation follow you for more advice?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter under @TheRealSPatrick. Or you can also drop me a message on the Gelato Discord if you want to discuss something. And you will find me there just as Patrick on the Gelato Discord server under a legendary member.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And we'll be back a little bit later this week with another awesome guest here on the Crypto 101 podcast.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.